Say with me these words. Say the anointing. And I want to prophesy. I want to minister to people. But let me get this word through first. And I'll see how the Holy Spirit, what God wants to do. But I have this thing very strong on my spirit. That the anointing, when it comes to the anointing, when it comes to the glory of God, the glory must be carried and not driven. Are you guys with me? You know, for the band, for music, for sometimes it can feel like we are struggling. Thanks for the speaker. Sometimes it can feel like we are struggling or pushing through when it comes to music. And what it takes somebody just to back down and surrender, which means that the anointing and the glory of God must be carried where many churches wants to drive it in the flesh. Are you guys with me? And I'm going to explain to you just now in the Word. And one thing while I was praying this afternoon, I just heard that the anointing, it's something, I don't want to say it's an it because it is a he. And as the Holy Spirit sat like a dove, the Bible says that when Jesus was baptized in water, that the Holy Spirit came down upon him like a lighting, like a dove, sitting upon him, which means he had to be very sensitive in that moment, because if you have a dove sitting on your shoulders, it is something that is very sensitive. It will react to any sudden movement or any reaction or any negative emotion. A dove will react. Are you guys with me? The same with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is like the dew of heaven that come rest upon us, but it takes a people to surrender. Sometimes we want to push it in the flesh and we want to do something. Put me on this on the screen, Numbers 4, chapter number 4, verse number 4. And I want to show this or get through this. Say with me again, say the anointing. Say the glory of God. Listen to this. This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle. Say with me, in the tabernacle. It is speaking here in a verse, in a place which hosts the presence of God. Are you guys with me? In the tabernacle of meeting, relating to the most holy things. The scripture is saying, listen here, they are sons and they are people that are trained up. Priests that have been separated unto God, set apart to deal with holy things. Let's go to the next verse. And when the camp prepares to journey, which means that, I want to explain this verse. This is when they would, this is instructions given by God, that when they would pick up the Ark of the Covenant, which carried the presence, there were certain rules and things they had to fulfill. And there were certain requirements that had to be done before they could pick up the ark and move it to another place. Are you guys with me? And Aaron said, listen to this, and Aaron and his sons shall come, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it. It is going to be very short tonight, the word, but I want you to get these keys. The scripture commands that before they could pick up the ark, they have to take the veil that has been torn going into the holy place. They had to take that veil and cover the ark, cover the presence of God. Let's go to the next verse. Then they shall put on it a second covering, a covering of badger skins. Then a third covering, it says, and spread over that a cloth entirely of blue, and they shall insert its poles. When they put the poles in, means they were ready to pick up the ark and begin to walk with it. But the scripture says, listen here, this is the Bible giving instructions to say that before the presence of God is moved or carried into a place, or taken from one place to another, there are certain requirements. Number one, it must be a priest that is set apart to handle most holy things. Are you guys with me? One of the biggest things that can grieve the Holy Spirit is when we step into His presence with an uncircumcised heart. When our hearts hasn't been cut and made flesh, meaning repentance brings a circumcised heart, that we can sit in the presence of God, holy unto Him, which means separated unto Him. Sometimes we think holy is sinless. And I'll explain at the end of the sermon what holiness means. It means someone whose heart is circumcised, cut. As in the Old Testament, there was circumcision of the flesh. In the New Testament, there is circumcision of the heart. And God, Scripture is saying, listen, I need a people that has a circumcised heart, set apart, fulfilling the qualifications to get into my presence, number one. To lift up the Ark of the Covenant and clothe it and cover it with things. And the Scripture is saying, God is saying, listen here, when it comes to my presence, I need it to be covered and protected. Are you guys with me? Number one. Number two, badger skin speaks of, it speaks of a human flesh. That is the symbolic of badger skin. So first, they had the Ark of the Covenant. Then they would put the veil that split the most holy place and going into the most holy place, where the Scripture says that when Christ was on the cross, the veil was torn from bottom to top. Are you guys with me? And then that veil, they say, listen, we put on the presence, on the Ark of the Covenant, number one. And number two, then the presence of God. Carrying, listen. The Scripture says the ark was put between two angels of cherubims, the mercy seat. That Ark of the Covenant literally carried His presence, which means if they put the ark in somebody's house, Obed Edom, which we'll read now about, the house would prosper. Everything that is in vicinity of that ark would have prosperity. If there was agriculture around or farms or anything that they were growing, it would be 10 times bigger than normal. It would have the blessing of God upon it simply because of vicinity of the presence, the ark. So it is covering the veil. The veil is covering the ark. But the Scripture says, listen, the veil has been torn. Which means, number one, that thing which covered the ark has been torn 2,000 years ago. Number two, are you guys with me? The badger skin speaks of human flesh that now goes over the veil. But as the veil was torn, flesh has been crucified upon the cross. Which means there's nothing that I can do to put my flesh down in my own works. All I can do is I can look back at the cross and say, as Christ died, I died. Christ in me, Paul is saying, Galatians 2 verse 20, crucified inside of me. And as Christ was crucified and resurrected, I am resurrected on the inside of me. Which means that the human flesh that covered the ark is taken away by the cross. Are you guys with him? Number three, it speaks of a cloth, but of a high, very high value of blue that would cover the ark. And it speaks of royalty and a heavenly cloth. Which means that as the veil is torn, number two, as our flesh is crucified, blue, which is the presence and the heavenly language, the heavenly color, speaking of royalty, is covering His presence. When they carry the ark from one place to another, it was holy priests that were supposed to put it on their shoulders. Priests that were separated by God, consecrated, 30 years of training. When they get 30, they are separated unto Him to become priests. And not even any priest could enter into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. It was those who had no scars, no scabs. Are you guys with me? They could have had no wounds, and they would go through a ritual, 1, 2, 3, covering the oil covering them, the blood covering them. Many rituals would go through to begin to enter into the presence. When they would walk, this priest would walk into the presence, into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. They would take a rope, put it around his foot with a bell on, and tell him to go into the presence. And then if the bell would stop ringing, it means he would be dead and they would pull him out. If the bell would continue on ringing, it means that the priest didn't have any fault or flaw, especially when it comes to wounds and scars. And he would go into the Holy of Holies, minister to God regarding the people's needs, come out and minister to the people from God. But one of the most biggest limitation, if I can say it like that, that would stop a priest from entering into the Holy of Holies is if he had any scars on him, wounds. When we as believers want to enter into the presence with wounds that is holding us back, we cannot stand in his presence. Are you guys with me? Because, listen, go with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 6. Let me get into this. Say with you the anointing. That's all I want to get through tonight with this message of the ark. And I want to explain to you what we as a people can do. 2 Samuel chapter number 1, chapter number 6, let's read from verse 1. Listen to this. David wanted to fetch the ark of the covenant in this place and take it from one place and bring it to Jerusalem, because he saw the incredible blessings that the ark had physically, to such a degree that even if the enemy took the ark, if they had it just in their vicinity, everything in their house would be blessed. So it says, again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. Next verse. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him, with Baal Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name, the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart. Say with me, a new cart. I want you to see this picture. We read in Numbers 4. Sorry, go back for me to, just keep this. Go back for me to Numbers chapter number 4, verse 4. I want you to see this. It says, this is the servants of sons of Kohath in the tabernacle relating to the most holy things. Next verse. It says, when the camp prepares to journey, Aaron and his sons shall cover, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it. Go to the next verse. Then they shall put in a covering, as we said, badger skins, the veil, a blue cloth, and they shall insert its poles. Let's go to the next verse. On the table of showbread, they shall spread a blue cloth and put it on the dishes, the pans, the bowls, and the pitchers, for pouring and showbread shall be on it. Let's go to the next verse. They shall spread over them a scarlet cloth, speaking of the blood, and cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and they shall insert its poles. What this whole chapter is explaining is saying, listen, I have appointed men who has been qualified to deal with most holy things. The book of Peter says, Peter is explaining to people in the book of Peter, he says, listen, these things we have tasted. He's speaking of dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing miracles. He's saying, these things we have tasted as disciples. We have seen it. We have handled it. We have touched these things. Meaning, we were walking with him, right next to him when he was doing miracles, when he was raising the dead, when healing began to broke out, when deliverance began to take place. We were there. We've seen these things. We've handled it. We've touched it. We've tasted it. Listen, say with me, holy things. There's a people that is required to go into the holy place And God is looking for someone that is set apart in their heart, that is saying, I have circumcised my heart. I am upright in every area. I have integrity because of the Holy Ghost upon my life. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter number 6. I want to explain this to you. So David has seen the ark blessing other people. And he wants to fetch the ark of the covenant, the ark of the presence of God, and bring it to Jerusalem. So he took and gathered choice men. Let's go to the next verse. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to bring up the ark of God, whose name was the Lord of hosts, dwelling between the cherubims. Next verse. So they set the ark of God on a new cart. Say with me, a new cart. As I said just now, it was God's requirement for the ark to be carried on shoulders of holy priests. And David says, I'm going to do a shortcut here. I'm going to put the cart on the ark of the covenant on a new cart, which speaks of something that cannot carry the glory, but it had to be driven. An ark had to have people on horses or oxen carrying the cart, where God is saying, listen, my prescribed order has been for my presence to be carried by holy priests. Are you guys with me? But David is trying to not pay the price. And he put it on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab. Listen, why was the Ark of the Covenant supposed to be carried on the arms, on the shoulders of priests? Because anything that was unholy or that would touch the Ark of the Covenant out of the things that was approved by God would be destroyed. It would be defiled. No animal could get near it. No person could touch the ark. Not even a priest that is set apart for 30 years. They had to go through rituals just to get into the presence of God. Are you guys with me? This is how holy and how valuable, if I can say it like that, it comes when it comes to the presence of God. Where many of us has made things a little bit cheap and saying, but wait, you know, Christ has died for me on the cross. I can just receive him and go on with my life. And Peter's saying, no, listen. These things we've tasted, handled, and touched, but these things are most holy. The word holy simply means one word, one phrase. It means to be set apart. It doesn't mean to not sin. It means somebody that is set apart for God's purpose, that is pulled aside, sanctified, separated unto him. When Paul was in the church of Antioch in Acts chapter number 13, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit spoke to the leaders and said, separate unto us Barnabas and Saul for the work that is prepared for them, which means separate them unto God. Are you guys with me? So David says, listen, I want to get the Ark of the Covenant from that place to Jerusalem, from the house of Abinadab, where the Ark was in. Abinadab's whole house was blessed because of the Ark of the Covenant. And David said, no, I need to get it very quickly from that place to Jerusalem, because I want the presence of God. But listen, he took a shortcut and he said, I will put it on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, say with me, Uzzah. I know it sounds like a lot, but it's short and I want to show you 3 or 4 points out of tonight. It says, Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. Where this cart was supposed, or not the cart, the presence and the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be carried. Where the anointing of the Holy Spirit is supposed to be carried into a church. Many people try to drive it with entertainment. or drive it with programs or set structures. And let us do this thing to get the presence of God. And where God is saying, no, listen. I will pull back until I have somebody who is circumcised in their heart, can carry in my glory into a service. Most holy things, that their hands are clean, their hearts are pure, so that they can handle these things, the presence of God. Are you guys with me? So listen, the two sons of Abinadab drove the new cart that had the presence of God on. The name Uzzah means, let me first say that Abinadab, where the Ark of the Covenant was, speaks of, his name means willingness, meaning he was willing to host the presence of God in his house. He was willing to say, I'm going to pay the price to have the Ark of the Covenant in my house. A very strange thing is when God would allow the Ark of the Covenant to be in the house of enemies, and it would be blessed, and their houses would be blessed. But then somebody of the Israelites would touch the Ark and they would die. I never understood that. Are you guys with me? Listen, the name Uzzah means Uzzah and Ayo. It means strength and flesh, which means the two sons of Abinadab took it upon their own strength, upon their own flesh, to say, we're going to carry this glory and we're going to drive it to wherever we want. And God is saying, this is not my structure. Are you guys with me? He's saying, listen here, David, you're trying to put my presence, which I prepare people for 30 years for, to have every measurement, every scale in the temple, every specific length and height and size and what the things are made of. He said to Moses, God said to Moses, listen, he gave him every measurement to build a house that can host the presence of God. Training people, preparing them for 30 years to say, that one can bring me in the service, or that one can carry my presence or my glory. Yet David is trying to make it cheap and bring it from Abinadab's house into Jerusalem, carrying the presence, which was real. His motive was good, but he did it the wrong way. Are you guys with me? Somebody can steal and have a good motive to steal, but it is done the wrong way. Many times we want to bring the presence of God into a place the wrong way. Our motives might be right, but God is saying, listen, I need a people that is consecrated, number one, that is separated unto me, whose hearts are circumcised and cut to carry the sensitivity of my presence. Okay. Are you guys with me? Listen, he's saying, I don't want my presence to be carried upon a cart, pulled by oxen and driven by the sons of Abinadab. But I want holy priests, or a people, as the Bible says in Revelation, that I have made you kings and priests unto our God. If anybody is saying, listen here, I am a believer, I am filled with the Holy Ghost, you have been made and separated unto him. But he's saying, I want my people to be separated, to become holy, to not be lazy like what David did, to try to take my presence from one place to another. But this thing takes time for preparation. Are you guys with me? We can grow a church and that is great, but God is into preparation. Saying, I don't care if it takes 10 years with the same attendance, but I want to prepare and cut my people's hearts, that when they worship him, the glory can come in. When they worship him, they can carry my presence on their shoulders, holy and separated unto him. Not making a cheap car to carry his presence in. Are you guys with me? Let's go to the next verse. Listen to what happened. So now David and them are taking the presence of God from one place to another, to Jerusalem. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio, one of his sons, went before the ark. Next verse. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of firwood, harps, stringed instruments, tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals. Next verse. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, so did the threshing floor. It's a place of testing, which means this new cart was carrying the presence. But when it came to a place where testings came into their life, when somebody hasn't gone through the preparation and they're trying to carry the glory or the presence of God, and they get to a place where there's testing and God tests them, they will stumble. It says, when they came to Nahon's threshing floor, the cart began to stumble, and Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took a hold of it because it was stumbling. So the ark hit the threshing floor, began to stumble, which means if it was on the shoulders of holy priests, it would have never stumbled. They would have came to the threshing floor and be able to move and step or walk across it. Where a cart was driving with oxen, with the two sons of Abinadab driving the cart. And when the cart hit the threshing floor, it stumbled, and the Ark of Covenant wanted to fall off. There are churches, especially as we're going on right now, listen here, in towards the end times in South Africa, that we bring in a seeker sensitive move to say we want to make a service quick, 20 minutes or 45 minutes, only 20 minutes music, 10 minutes music, so many songs, only a 15-minute message, and then your church will grow. I'm feeling alone here, seriously. I can't hear myself on the speakers really here, so I have to trust in you. Listen. That we say that we can take the glory and the presence, and we can bring it in ourselves into a place. By ourselves with a new cart, making it cheap, skipping the process, violating the order that God has put in. And David thinks he's going to get the ark from there to that place. But when it came to the place of testing, are you guys with me? I have seen when believers have not circumcised their heart, dealt with their flesh, separate themselves unto God, when the season of testing is coming, they stumble. They fail. They say, oh, God is not for me. I don't want to go to church. God, we are so quick to say, I see people, they said, serve God a year, on fire, in their flesh, but never circumcise their flesh. That when the place of testing comes, or the season of testing comes, that they can endure it on their feet, on their knees, and walk through it, getting on their knees and having a funeral, dying to themselves, and making it through a season. But when we have too much flesh, at the time of testing, we will stumble. Let's go to the next verse. Listen to this. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him down for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. Listen, this was a man that was with David, taking the Ark of the Covenant from one place to another, that when it wanted to fall, this man stretched out his hands to protect it, yet God killed him. Are you guys with me? Trying to help God without his permission. Trying to do something, making it cheap and making it quick. And we have tried to driven the glory of God or push it by entertainment or by programs or by systems or by a laziness in the spirit, not dying to ourselves, and we're thinking we're going to get God from this place to another. He's saying, I want a people who has died to themselves, priests that I have separated, which means a person who can stand in the presence of God and they don't have unforgiveness or anger, or they have separating themselves, knowing that we cannot stop sinning, but we're separating ourselves unto God for the anointing to come into a place. The anointing cannot be driven. It must be carried. He's looking for a people that say we have shoulders to carry His glory and not put it on an ark. Not asking somebody else, please pray for me, please do this, please fast for me. But I can say, but wait, I can carry and pay the price where I'm at. Say with me, a new cart that will never get the presence to where we want to go. This thing is going to require a holy people. Are you guys with me? Holiness is not a thing we do. It is something we are. God is saying, Peter is saying in the scripture, in the book of Peter, he's saying that God is saying, quote unquote, be holy, for I am holy. He is not saying, by your works become holy. The phrase, be holy, means I empower you right now. You are holy. Holiness is an identity. It is saying, like Eckhart, just stand on your feet. It is saying that Eckhart is a boy and not a girl. Despite your LGBTQ, come stand here. Some people say, you know, I feel I'm born this way. I feel I am black although I'm white, or I feel I'm white although I'm black, or I feel I'm an animal instead of I'm white. This is what's going on. And because they feel that way, you must treat them that way. That's what they say now. When we say that Eckhart is a boy, a male, a man, we are saying, you are this. Nothing he's going to do is going to change it. He can say he's a girl, but everybody's going to see he's a man. Are you guys with me? That is holiness. It is something that you are in your identity. Nothing can be worked for it. You cannot pray to be holy. You cannot fast to be holy. Otherwise, Christ would have never died upon the cross. And it's not necessary. His crucifixion or his death is not necessary, because we could have done it on ourselves. He's saying, I have empowered you to be holy. You are holy. Which means you come to a place where you just know, but wait, I have been separated and put aside to handle most holy things. Things that others, if they touch it, they would die. If they get close to it, they would be struck dead. Even if they are trying to mean well or do well, they can get killed. But I've been separated and set apart to handle most holy things. Things that is in the throne of God. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. Have you seen this one? The Bible says the anger of the Lord came against Uzzah, even though he meant well, but he handled holy things. His hands were not prepared. His life was not been trained or prepared. When you get to the tabernacle that Moses built, even the musicians were trained for 30 years. And once they were trained for 30, when they became 30, they stepped into the priesthood to handle holy things. Are you guys with me? Let me carry on reading. And God struck him for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. Verse 7. Oh, that's verse 7. Go for me to, let's carry on. Verse 8. Let's carry on reading. Listen to this. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Are you guys with him? The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And where the ark was, the Lord blessed it. Listen. Let's go to the next verse. Now it was told to King David. People told him, listen here. God has been blessing Obed-Edom and all that he belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with, say with me, gladness. But listen to this. Next verse. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Here, David changed the whole thing. He said, listen, I realize that I did it wrong. And I was beginning to stir God up to anger. That when somebody just reached out to help them or help the presence of God, he killed them. David said, I don't want to touch this. I don't want to be close to it. Put it in that guy's house there. And just because the presence of God was there, he was blessed. Just because you're on the right location where the presence of God is, there'll be prosperity and blessing. It doesn't matter who you are, what you have done or what you haven't done. Say with the location. Listen to this. So David is like, no, listen. Look. That guy is being blessed. We are going to do this thing right. Let's people bear the ark of the Lord. At every 6 paces, I don't know how many meters that is. I believe 3 meters. They would walk 3 meters and they would give a sacrifice. That he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. So the fatted sheep, the best that there was. Saying, I cannot carry the presence without giving to God every step that I'm going. Which means we are serving a God that is spoiled. You're not going to impress him with 5 rand or 20 rand or 100 rand. He has been spoiled by David. That every step, that every 6 paces that David took, he had to make a sacrifice, do an offering, give a seed, and give the best, a fatted sheep, to God. Are you guys with me? Next verse. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David in the house of Israel brought up the ark with the Lord, shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, David's wife, it's amazing that the Bible here doesn't call her David's wife, but calls her Saul's daughter because of the thing that was in her heart. Looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling, dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. When you worship God and praise him, when I go out or I serve him with 100% passion, there are those that has religion on them, and they can look at you despising you in their hearts because you are rejoicing. She despised David because he was dancing, praising, shouting, and every 6 paces he was giving an offering, and she despised that in her heart. Next verse. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Next verse. Then he distributed among all the people, the multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, a cake, and raisins. He was giving food out. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to his family, his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said these words, sarcastic, how glorious was the king of Israel today? Wow, you know, you worshiped him so nice. Uncovering himself today, in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. She said, listen, you're worshiping and you're glorifying God, but you're taking your clothes off and there's women that are watching you. Are you guys with me? Next verse. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father. When a religious person looks at you and say, but why are you giving so much? Why are you worshiping? Why are you always in a prayer meeting? Why are you always serving there, giving all your time? It's because God chose me and didn't choose you. Listen, why are you always in a Sunday morning and a Sunday night? Why are you at cell on a Wednesday, prayer at a Saturday, discipleship on a Friday and a Saturday? Why are you doing these things? Because God chose me instead of you. Listen, so David said, he chose me instead of your father and all of his house to appoint me, say with him, me, ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. Next verse. And David goes on and he said, and I will be even more undignified than this. Meaning, I will now, just because you said this, why have I done this? Why have I embarrassed you? I will now do even much more to embarrass you much more. To be undignified in every area, even though it looks embarrassing. It looks shameful, but I'm doing it before the Lord. And will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants, listen to David. He says, but as for those women who you say that is seeing me naked, they will now even hold me in greater honor. Listen, say with you the presence of God. And the Bible will go on and say, explained how Michal became barren and never gave birth to a child again. Because they looked at somebody that was giving everything to God and despised them. Don't let the enemy look down at you and despise you. Anything that says, you are doing this, why are you praying? When I got saved, everybody asked, why am I giving so much time to him? I thank God now that I gave him so much time. And David realized, listen, I try to take the presence of God from one place to another by doing it cheap, and I saw death coming. But now I will pay the price. I will carry it on the shoulders of holy priests, not putting it on a cart of laziness or a cart of making Christianity plastic and a show just to get there. Let us just sing two songs, two praise, three worship, a short offering. You know, when we read church growth stuff, and myself and Martin and Marie, when we read these books, they will tell you, let your message be perfectly planned. In fact, all these pastors already plan their messages like 5 weeks in advance. And they'll say how they prepare a message now for 2 months later. I'm thinking, what nonsense is this? And they'll tell you, do not sing more than this time. Let your services only be 45 minutes. Otherwise, your church will not grow. And we're trying to mold the presence into a new court. And we're trying to make it get quicker to a place that is not designed by God. I will rather go slower and do it God's way, but have the anointing and the presence in my house, that those who are saying, I am willing to put his presence in my house, like Abinadab, whose name means willingness. If somebody is saying, I am willing to have an e-group in my house, I am willing to have home cell, a prayer meeting, I am willing to make my house open or make the ministry or the kingdom of God advance, I am willing, the presence of God will touch your location and you will be blessed in everything that you do. The Bible says not only was Abinadab blessed, but everything around him was blessed. Have you seen? Are you guys with me? All the things, his whole household was blessed. It carried his presence. Go with me to, before I pray for you and before we get into it, go with me to Psalm 15, verse 1. Psalm 50, verse 1. Say with me the anointing. Raise your hands wherever you are. Raise your hands. Before we get into this psalm, as you're sitting with your hands raised, listen. This anointing, the presence of God, can only be carried in, even into the service. It'll take a people whose hearts are circumcised, whose hearts are right before God, and they'll be able to stand in His presence. Listen to this. Listen to this. Psalm 15, verse 1. It says, who may abide? David is asking the question. He says, who is the person? Because now we can ask, okay, but those who carry the presence, who are holy priests, but who of us can carry the glory of God or the presence of God in? Who is qualified? What can, who of us can carry the anointing? David is saying, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? You will see that the sins of a tongue is worse than what we think a sin is. And God is saying, the person that I've qualified to carry my anointing, the one that can stand, go through to verse 1, on my holy hill, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Meaning, is there a people that is saying, I am a Psalm 15 person. I can stand on the hill of God. I can be in the tabernacle, minister to God and minister to His people. I am carrying truth in my heart. It's a people who is in His tabernacle. Are you guys with me? Say with me the anointing. It must be carried. And listen, listen. Have you seen? Have you seen? Oh. And I'm preaching this message to make us understand how the presence of God comes in when we worship Him. When we're in a service and we're lifting up our hands, that it is those who have a circumcised heart that is saying, I'm not going to put the glory on a new cart and make it be or cause it to be driven into a place, but I'm going to carry it on my shoulders, paying a price for 30 years being trained, carrying it on my shoulders, not being lazy. It is difficult to walk from Abinadab's house to Jerusalem, sacrificing every six paces, giving an offering to God. Of David, David is saying, listen here, I took of the fatted sheep, those who are the best, and I set it aside for Him. Are you guys with me? This is the anointing. This is a symbol of a church or a people or a ministry or a movement that does not do things to quench the Holy Ghost. I was preaching this morning. The Bible says in the book of Thessalonians, do not quench the Spirit of God. Do not quench His Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Meaning those, there are a people, and even as church, as we are going, that can quench the flow of His Spirit. When prophecy wants to flow, when the Holy Ghost wants to move and flow like a river, there are those that quench Him by stopping the move, stopping the fire. I mean, we've been in churches. God forbid you if you sing one song that you're not supposed to sing further. Or God forbid you standing on a stage and worshiping Him in other tongues. God forbid somebody that has an encounter with Him or His presence comes. And what is happening is the Holy Ghost has been quenched in churches. And we wonder, why is God not moving? Why is he not moving in that church? Why is he not? Because it's a quenching of the Holy Ghost. There's a blockage. It's like a stone being put into a river, and it blocks the flow, and the river has to go around the stone. There are some people, you can lay hands on them, they'll just stand in front, they'll stand here. It's like you lay hands and you can impart to people, you get to them, they stand like a stone put in a river, and they're blocking the flow. And God will decide, listen, I'm just going to move around you. The Holy Ghost is like a river, it's like a wind. Those who are of the Spirit, you don't know whether they're coming or they're going. They're neither here nor there, the scripture says, because they are of the Spirit. As the Holy Ghost blows, they are going. Are you guys with me? I think in the second service I was preaching, Paul is speaking about a shipwreck in the book of Acts. And he's saying, brethren, I perceive, men, he said, I perceive that this journey will end in destruction. I sense in my spirit, and I'm sensitive, Paul is saying, and I have a perception we're going to have a shipwreck. Meaning for somebody to be a ship and to move with the currents of God, a mechanism has to be set up for a sail. And as the sails are put up, the wind will blow in the sails and it will move a ship whether left or right. If the sails are put up wrong, a ship will go into the wrong direction. Like it is with the Holy Spirit, exactly the same. It needs something to be set up in our hearts, moving us to the right direction. But if that thing is not set up right, we can go to the wrong direction. Are you guys with me? The anointing, the anointing is so sensitive, it'll come rest upon a person. And God wants our spirits, the Lord wants our spirits to be softer and more sensitive to hear Him if He whispers, to hear Him if He says, go left, go right, minister to this one, this. Do this, religion will quench and will say, let's box this in and put it on a new cart and we steer it where we decided want to go. We will drive the presence of God, even though it can't be pushed. When it is on the shoulders of priests, they walk slowly, they stop, they sacrifice. But when it is on a new cart, that cart decides to be driven in human strength. I don't want this church to go into human strength, but for us to surrender to the Holy Spirit. With praise and with worship, so many places we've seen, with ministry, with a word, with praying for people, it can be rushed and God can just back off and move away. And it goes on in the emotions of man, but God has already backed off. When He decides to breathe upon somebody, you'll feel the anointing rest upon you. Are you guys with me? Raise your hands wherever you are.